Bible tonight, and we're going to read some of the words of the Lord Jesus as he spoke in the Gospel. So firstly, in Matthew chapter 7, Matthew chapter 5, 6 and 7 is what is often being termed as the Sermon on the Mount. It's the words that the Lord Jesus spoke in regard to the kingdom and the characteristics of those that enter into the kingdom. And we learn some very important principles in this sermon that the Lord Jesus gave. And we need to remind our hearts that these are the words of the Lord Jesus. And as we think of the one who's speaking these words, we need to ever remember that he is the eternal Son of the eternal God. He is God. And so when he speaks, it is God speaking. And so his words are authoritative, and they come directly from God because he is God. And he gives warning in this passage. So Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. And he says to his hearers, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate," it's an old word that means narrow, "straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Notice how the Lord Jesus made it very clear that there would be few who would find this way. So you see, some people have this mistaken idea that if the mass is on that road, well, they must be right, because the mass of people are doing this that I might be doing. But the Lord Jesus is showing that the way to heaven, the way to life, is the way that few there be that find it. And then he gives a very important warning. He warns of false prophets that are going to come teaching false things and not the words that the Lord Jesus spoke. And he's also going to warn again in verses 21 to 23 of false professors, people who claim that they're on the way and yet they've never been born again. They are not saved people, and only saved people are those that are on the narrow way that leads to life. Now, the Lord Jesus spoke these words during the 3 years of his public ministry, but then towards the end of his public ministry, as he's journeying to Jerusalem to give his life upon the cross, to die and to rise again, as he said, he has some more words that are very similar. And he's on his way to Jerusalem. Luke traces the path of the Lord Jesus to Jerusalem. So when we come to chapter 13 and verse 22, we read, "And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem." Now the Lord Jesus is only weeks away. "And then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved?" Notice that question again. Here's somebody coming and asking a very pointed question. Are there few that be saved? Now the Lord Jesus turns and he gives a different answer, but a very good warning as well. He says this. "He said unto them," notice it, the man asked the question, but then he says to the people, "strive to enter in." Notice those words of what he said earlier. "Enter ye in at the straight gate." There was a call to do something, to enter in. And now the Lord Jesus is saying, strive to enter in at the straight gate. "For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter and shall not be able." He's looking to a future time when these people will long to enter in, just like when the flood came in Noah's day and it was too late. The door was shut. And that's what the Lord Jesus says in the next section, verses 25 to 30. They'll be coming too late. You see, dear friend, tonight it's possible to miss God's salvation. That's why it's so urgent. It's pressing upon you to hear the words of God, because there will be a time when many will seek to enter in. Yes, few be saved, but many then will want to enter in, and it's too late because the door will be shut. And that's what we read in the next section. And one more verse, please, in John chapter 14. And I'm sure some of you, if not all of you, will know where I might be going now. And this is the Lord Jesus answering the question of Thomas, one of the disciples. And so verse 5, chapter 14, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And we know that God will be pleased to bless to us the readings of his precious word. Now, it's upon my heart this evening to consider with you the journey of life. Often I'm awake at night, and I've got into this over years, and I can go to sleep, and 2 o'clock I can be awake, and then I can be awake for hours. And so last night I was thinking, and I was pondering, and this subject came very real to me. And I was thinking about it, and I got up and got my Bible and had a look at it. And so that's what I'm sharing with you this evening. Now, the Lord Jesus speaks very clearly in Matthew chapter 7, and he shows to us that there are two ways. There are two ways that the whole mass of mankind are travelling. You know, some people have got this idea that there's many ways to heaven, and if you do your best and you're serious and you're devoted to whatever you believe, well, at the end of the day, God will look upon you and, you know, hopefully God will let you into heaven. You know, this is a mistaken idea that comes from the devil, because the devil wants to keep men and women in the dark, and he's opposed to the message of the gospel. You see, Satan has got no hope, and all his angels, they have no hope. We know the Lord Jesus said that there is a destiny prepared for the devil and his angels, Matthew chapter 25. It's the lake of fire. It's eternal judgment. There's no gospel preached to angelic beings that have fallen. And Satan is doomed. And he wants you to be doomed with him. So he's opposed to the gospel. He's the one who blinds the eyes of them that believe not, lest the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in unto them, and that they should be saved. You see, the devil is trying to stop men and women being saved. That's why they get invitations to come, and so sadly, so few come. And they're busy in their entertainment world, their social world, their business life. So many distractions, and yet the very important thing of life they disregard. And that is all the work of the enemy of souls. But we need to be clear that the Lord Jesus taught that there's two gates, two ways, and two destinies. And you and I are either on one or the other. There's no middle ground. There's no sitting on the fence. You're either on the broad way that's leading to destruction, or the narrow way that's leading to life. You know, the broad way is full of all sorts of people, all sorts of ideas, you know, all sorts of religions. They're all on the mass of humanity on this broad way. It's full of sinners, those that have their own ideas as to life. We're all on the broad way. You see, we all started on the broad way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You see, the fact of the matter is this, that the Lord Jesus is calling upon his readers to enter in at the straight gate, and that's the way that leads to life. And so we need to understand exactly what the Lord Jesus is speaking. He's appealing to his hearers to enter in. There's something that they themselves must do to get off that broad way and onto the narrow way that leads to life. You see, God is holy. And as we come to the Bible and we look through and trace through Old Testament history, we learn the holiness of God. and how God intervened in the affairs of men in judicial judgment because of their disobedience, their transgression, and their sins. And his people didn't escape. His people suffered much because of their disobedience. You see, God is holy. God is absolutely holy. And God is righteous in all his ways. And God's righteousness is manifested because of his holiness. Sin must be punished. And make no mistake about it, sin always gets punished. It was punished under the law. When God gave the law through Moses, the law had a corresponding judgment for all manner of sins. And Hebrews chapter 2 tells us that. There was a payment to be made because of sin. Whatever the type of sin it was, there was to be a penalty. Well, you know, as we come here this evening, you know, God looks upon us and he knows us through and through. And God is omniscient. He doesn't need to be told anything. The Lord Jesus, when he was here, he was omniscient. He knew what people were thinking. He could look at a man and know exactly what was going on in his mind. And many times he answered them because he knew what they were thinking. Amen. That is an attribute of deity. Amen. That proves to me that Jesus Christ is God. Mm-hmm. And you see, God is omnipresent, you see. God is everywhere. The psalmist knew that. He couldn't escape from God. Whether he sat down, whether he stood up, he recognized that God knew. God saw. There's nothing he could do. You know, the darkness and the light are both alike to God. He sees through the darkness. Darkness is no problem to God. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And you know, as God looks into our hearts, what does he see? What does he see? Jeremiah tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Oh, you say, that's, you're not describing me, are you? Well, that's what the Bible says about all of us. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, we don't realize how wicked our heart is. Mm-hmm. You know, all envy, pride, you know, jealous of someone else's car or someone else's suit or someone else's job. It's all sin in the sight of God. It's out from a wicked heart. It's deceitful and desperately wicked. Mm-hmm. Who can know it? I, the Lord. Search the heart. And here tonight, you know, I'm very conscious that God knows my heart. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't escape from that. God sees through all the veneer, mm-hmm. all the hypocrisy, amen. All the outward show. Mm-hmm. God sees through that. And God sees me as I am. And you see, the problem with us, the problem with the heart is the heart of the problem. Mm-hmm. That is the problem. You see, the problem with humanity today, the problem why we're all on that broad road that's leading to destruction, is our sin. You see, God and sin cannot meet. God is holy. When Adam sinned in the garden, we find that he was thrust out of the garden. You know, the Lord God put him in, and the Lord God put him out. And there was cherubim with flaming sword to guard the entrance, lest he should come back in. You see, there was no way back in. You see, sin brought in separation then. It brought in distance. It brought in death. And the Bible tells us, you see, once Adam sinned, the death sentence was passed. God had warned him. The day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the death sentence was passed. He didn't drop down dead immediately. But the death sentence was passed and the death process began. And he was on a downward trajectory until he died. And that's been the lot around the human race to this very day. Death. The wages of sin is death. Disappointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. As in Adam, 1 Corinthians 15, all die. By one man sin entered into the world. And death by sin, so death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You see, that's why we die. It's the death sentence. It's what happened in the Garden of Eden when Adam transgressed God's command. And we're all sinners and we're all guilty. And here we are today, lost, guilty sinners on that broad road. And where's it going to head? It's heading to destruction. It's heading to eternal doom. The place called hell, and ultimately after the great white throne judgment, consigned to the eternal burnings of the lake of fire. That's how serious your sin is in the sight of a holy God. God cannot pass the sinner by. His sins demand that he must die. But praise God tonight, there's hope for the sinner. That's why it's called a gospel meeting. It's good news. Sinners need not perish. Sinners need not be lost.
Amen.
Sinners can be saved. And praise God, many in this room today are saved, forgiven of all their sins. And it's through the one who came to be the sinner's saviour, the Son of God, who spoke these words. He came to die on the cross of Calvary to be the sinner's saviour. And so there is a way off. And the Lord Jesus said in these passages that there is a straight gate. And we read in Luke 13, you see, straight is the gate. It's a straight gate. You see, few there be that find it. That's the fact. You just don't drift in on the straight gate. Oh, I was born a Christian. My parents went to church. How many people believe that that's true of them? And they're just lying back thinking all is well when they're in great danger and still on the broad road. You see, there needs to be an effort made. You need to strive to enter in. You have got to make it your number one priority that I'm going to get saved. I need God to save me. I'm lost. I'm perishing. I'm finished. And you need to realize that there is a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ could say, I am the door. We read that in John 16. If any man enter it by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. You see, it's by me. The Lord Jesus is the door. He is the way onto the narrow way. And you must come through the door to come into this building tonight. Generally, you come through the door. You know, thieves and robbers climb in other ways. But generally, you come through the door. And the Lord Jesus said in John 10 that he was the door.
Amen.
He was the entrance into the sheepfold. And if you're going to get into the sheepfold and be one of his sheep, you must come through the Lord Jesus. He's the only way. You know, Acts 4:12 tells us, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven if you please, given among men, whereby we must be saved. We must be saved. And praise God, tonight we can be saved. The Christ has come and died on the cross. And you know, to be the Savior, and to be the way, the truth, and the life, that no man can come to the Father except by him, he had to come and deal with the big problem that was keeping us on that broad way. You see, God just cannot say, I'll forgive the sinner, I'll let him off. No, there has to be justice done. Sin's got to be paid for. God is holy, God is righteous. It's got to be dealt with absolutely, finally and judicially. And only the Son of God could do that. And that's why he came, to be the sinner's Savior. He came to be the sinner's substitute. And that's why in Luke 13 he was journeying to Jerusalem. He didn't turn back from the journey. He knew the cross was only weeks away. But he went forward to die because that was the Father's will. He'd come to be the Savior. John said, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. He was going to come to deal with sin, the root of the problem. He was going to give his life a ransom for many. And so he went to the cross. Think of how much, dear friend, tonight he loved you, that he was willing to die. Just consider a moment. The Son of God came to die. He entered into a body. He entered into manhood, a perfect man, in order that he might go to the cross and give his life a ransom for many. He could say, a body hast thou prepared me, a body that he would give upon the cross. You see, he gave his life. Therefore, the Lord Jesus said in John 10, doth my Father love me? Because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. You see, he obeyed his Father's will, and he went to the cross. And there at Calvary, he allowed himself to be taken by wicked hands and crucified and slain. Think about that, how he allowed men to take him. They couldn't take him till his hour had come. And then they laid hands on him as he left the garden. Judas and the mob with him. They laid hands on him and took him away. And there's no judicial act from heaven, because this was the Father's will. You know, if the Lord Jesus had called for more than 12 legions of angels and they had come to his aid, there'll be no hope for you and me. The cross would have not gone through. But the Lord Jesus was the holy Son of God. He was the obedient servant. And he did perfectly the will of his Father. And he was willing to die. He gave himself. He gave his life there on the cross. He died for sinners. And he died for you. Amen. I want you to think tonight how the Lord loves you. You know, God loves you. The Bible tells us in that famous verse in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. You can't tell me that God doesn't love you. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he proved his love to his Father, and he proves his love to you, and that he was willing to go to the cross to die for your sins. You know, the apostle, as you look back in Galatians chapter 2, he could say, the Son of God loved me. He loved me and he gave himself for me. And me, a sinner, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, a persecutor of Christians, not worthy to be called an apostle. He died for me. He loved me so much. Friend, tonight, he loves you too. He made provision for you. He's done the work to save you. He bore the judgment upon the cross of your sin. And he can save you because the penalty's been paid. Or tonight, I want you to hear him say that sixth cry on the cross. It is finished. And the work was done. And God was satisfied. Justice has been done. Sin's penalty has been paid. And God can be just. Absolutely just. And the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. You want to enter in on that door to get on that narrow way. And once you're on that narrow way, you're leading to heaven. And you've got life, eternal life. I give unto my sheep eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Safe in the hands of Christ. Safe in the Father's hands. Double security on the road to heaven. I tell you what joy it is tonight if you could get off that road that's leading to judgment, eternal judgment, and get on that way that's going to lead to life and happiness and peace. We have peace with God, the believers can say, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, tonight, time's up. I must finish. But I quote what one writer said. I set before you the way of life and the way of death. Therefore, choose life. You see, you need to strive to enter in. Make it your number one priority to get this vital matter put right urgently. Do you know you could miss it? You remember Luke 13. The door's shut. It's too late. Many will be crying in that day, Lord, Lord, open unto us. Oh, we've done this in thy name. We've cast out demons in thy name. We've eaten and drunk in thy presence. And the Lord will say, depart from me, I never knew you. That doesn't mean he didn't know them as individuals, because he knows everyone. But he didn't know them as his own sheep. Are you one of the sheep? Well, you know, tonight you need to do something about it. You've got to strive to enter in. So you need to recognize that you're a sinner. And you need to realize that your sin is serious. And tonight, dear friend, you need to repent towards God. And you need to exercise faith. It's not works, you know. God's not asking you to do anything. You can't do anything. Our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. The very good things we might do are as filthy rags in his sight. How dare we present filthy rags to God? We've got to rely on the work of another who did a perfect work. And he's done it. This is the work of God. I think it's John 5. That you believe on him whom he hath sent. Believe that he is the Saviour, that he is the Son of God, and he did the work to save me. And to receive him as my Saviour. It's an act of faith. It's taking hold on him and believing in him. Trusting him to save me. Coming to him in all my need. Bowing at the foot of the cross. And receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour. May God bless you tonight. Thank you for listening. Remember, this is the big thing. This is the important thing. This, your eternal destiny is at stake. You know, the journey of life. Too many people take so much interest in the trivial. And the big things of life get left behind. And what a danger to lose your soul. What shall it profit a man? It was quoted last night, I think. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world? Just imagine that. More than Elon Musk's got. The whole world. And lose his own soul. Yes, it's his own soul. All souls belong to God. We've quoted that, Ezekiel 33. I think that was last night by Paul. But I tell you this, it's your soul. And the destiny of your soul is either in heaven or the lake of fire. Choose Christ and be saved and know the joy of God's salvation.